rightly said, things are changing for the worse. The Bible said the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing the spirits and doctrines of devils. I believe that day has come. Amen.
Yeah.
I believe the love of many is waxing cold.
Yeah.
I believe that people are departing from the faith.
Yeah.
And it's a sad day. I mean, there never was a day that the church could shine any greater than the day and hour we're living in. And yet the church is so Laodicean and the light is so dim that we're not doing much good. An opportunity is there. Paul mentioned that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said this, "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And here's why. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." There's a business today. Avon. I don't know what to call the men, but everybody wants that look. They want that hair just right. They want them teeth just right. They got some kind of stuff now. I don't know, bleaches your teeth or something. I'm just glad I got them. I don't care what color they are, but everybody wants that look. And the reason they want that look is because they're lovers of their own self. And they're covetous. They're boasters. They're proud. They're blasphemers. They're disobedient to parents. I'm thankful. We got Thanksgiving coming up this month. And I just want you to know I'm thankful. I'm glad we set apart a day called Thanksgiving. And they're unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers. People accuse you of a lot of things and it don't have to be true. People will believe it, amen. Incontinent, that means you're here 1 minute, there the next, and somewhere else the next. You're never very long anywhere. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, and we've got plenty of that, but denying the power thereof, Paul told Timothy, from such turn away. And we'll stop. I just wanted to comment on that a little bit. I'll be preaching tonight, and I do need your prayers. I really don't even have this message anywhere close to where it ought to be to preach. But I have to admit, I'm stirred in my heart. And I take a little bit with God rather than have a whole lot. And the Lord be minding something else, wanting something else preached. So we want to try our best to be obedient tonight. And if you would, please open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 14. I'll try my best not to be long tonight. And I'll let the Lord make that determination of how long the service is. It's good to have Brother Ivis, Sister Emmeline with us tonight. I'm kind of jealous of them a little bit. They come over here and get a double portion. They go here and then go over to Millerfield. And I'm just going to guess they get their bread buttered on both sides by doing that. And I'll tell you, that's kind of what the message is kind of about tonight. But we want to read verse 24 of 1 Samuel chapter 14. We want to read down to verse number 30. And then we'll stop and go to God in prayer. And in this context here, we'll elaborate a little bit, bring things in perspective. But in this it says, "And the men of Israel were distressed that day. For Saul had adjured the people, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. "And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped. And no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in a honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people, saying, Thy father straightly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, cause I tasted of this honey, or tasted a little of this honey. I want to read it as it is. Verse 30, the last verse. How much more if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter, let me see if I can read that. For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines. And we'll stop right there. Now I want to try my best tonight, and I do desire your prayers, to preach a message on the honey of God. And pray with me tonight. Father, we thank you for these that are here tonight. Lord, even greater, Lord, than I or anyone could say they deserve before them. Preach, and I pray, Father, Lord, in this Laodicean age, that you'd visit this service tonight, Lord, as much as you would if we had a multitude here. Lord, I pray you'd bless those that put forth an effort to come tonight. Lord, bless those, Father, that weren't able to make it tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would also be blessed in so doing. Father, help us in this message that we might be sensitive to thy Spirit. Lord, I pray you would help us, Father. Every man of God must have the help of God. Peter said, let every man minister as the Lord gives ability. We know, Father, without the ability and the help of God, we've met for naught. So I pray that, Lord, you do your mighty works, and we'll praise you and thank you for whatever you do, and we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The honey of God. I want to comment on where we're at before I preach about the honey of God. Israel is scared. They're there with their tails tucked, and nobody's moving. They're in the bondage. They're all afraid. They don't have any weapons. The Philistines are belittling them. The Philistines, the garrison of the Philistines have come around them, and they're just bullying them, and everybody there is just afraid. But Jonathan, Saul's son, the Bible said in verse 1 of this chapter that he told his armor bearer, come and let us go over to the Philistines that's on the other side, but he told not his father. Sometimes when you're going to do something for God, you have to do it like this, because when you tell people, they'll talk you out of it. Now, I've had things in my heart before to do, and if I wasn't careful, the Bible even talks about not mentioning it to your wife. You know enough Bible, sometimes you got to be discreet. My wife's taught me out of a few things, and I pray, but I'm assured that I have probably talked her out of doing a few things. But Jonathan's showing great wisdom here. Felt like he needed to go do something for the glory of God. And any time you get ready to do something for the glory of God, Sister Emmeline, you got to do it kind of like Jonathan did. You just kind of got to be discreet about it. He told his armor bearer, said, come on, let's go. And Jonathan and his armor bearer, they left the soldiers, they left the armies of Israel, and he told not his father. And it says here that Saul tarried here in Gilead under a pomegranate tree. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And read down verse 6. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, this is two young men, come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Listen to this statement. For there is no restraint to the Lord. I want you to listen to the faith this young man's manifesting. To save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that's in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I'm with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we'll pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus to us, tarry till we come to you, then we'll stand still in our place and we'll not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord have delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they've hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us. That's the sign. And we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord had delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And Brother Melvin, they got ready to mow some Philistine grass. And the Bible tells us here that those Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him, and that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made were about 20 men within, as it were, about a half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow. Here's God showing up in this. Verse 15 said, and there was a trembling in the host in the field among the people and the garrison of the spoilers. They also trembled and the earth quaked, and it was a very great trembling. And the watchman of Saul, he's over here under this pomegranate tree with 600 men with their tails tucked, Brother James. And the watchman of Saul in Gilbad of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. And Saul said unto the people that were with him, number now and see who's gone from us. And behold, when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahai, bring here the ark of God. For the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass while Saul talked unto the priest that the noise was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thy hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves and they came to the battle. Saul never done nothing right. It looked like he was trying. He was trying to inquire at the hand of God. But when he saw this battle to his advantage, the Philistines falling molly like a deck of cards, Saul told the priest, withhold thy hand. In other words, don't inquire to God. I can handle it from here. And the Bible said, behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. Talking about the Philistines. And there was a very great discomforter. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time which came up with them into the country from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in the Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in battle. And verse 23 says, so the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Bethaven. I just want you to know, nothing's going on, and there's a young boy named Jonathan with enough faith to believe God to help him in this dilemma where they're sitting there waiting for something to happen. And sometimes in order for something to happen, someone's got to exercise a little faith. And Jonathan, Brother Melvin, exercised a little faith. And he told his armor bearer, he said, let you and me go up and see if the Lord will work for us. And if He'll work for us, we'll mow some hay today, some Philistine hay. Amen. Amen. Brother Melvin, he just got his farm all mowed. And I tell you what, every time I get on that tractor, I think about Jonathan out there mowing Philistines. I mean, he went out there, buddy, and he plowed down through there. And I tell you what, Brother Elvis, and Philistines couldn't stand. And the reason they couldn't stand, because there's a young boy had enough faith to believe God to go from where he was to where he needed to be. And he saw the salvation of God. Amen. Sister Gayla, sometimes we just got to go with God.
Amen.
I'm learning a little bit. I'm learning to go with God. Things that don't make no sense, make sense when you put God in it. I mean, somebody said, you believe in miracles? Yeah, you look at my checking account and you'll see I believe in miracles. I can't explain it, and I can't explain the way neither. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, with God, all things are possible. We was over at Sister Sophia's this afternoon to visit with her. I've been under conviction about not getting over there and been wanting to do it for a long time. And it worked out today that I could go over there and hang it up on their wall. Share that scripture there. With God, all things are possible. I'm glad, praise God, we got that God equation we can always put in the figure. Margaret over there at her mother's house this afternoon, she's trying to help her mother with her checking account. And I'm down there and I'm trying to add and subtract. And I've done find out every now and then God slips a little in there. I went up there to Sonora yesterday, Brother James. Took my son up there. We went up there to see if we could find some flint. The old truck couldn't hardly haul it all back. I mean, buddy, I went up there and said, Lord, we need your blessing today. And I'll tell you what, buddy, I'm not kidding you. We got home, and I don't know how in the world that truck hauled all that flint home. I'll tell you one thing, a guy put $200 in my hand. Another guy go put $200 more in my hand in the morning. Another guy sent $300 by way of internet and said he wanted about 1,000 pounds and $2 a pound, and he lives in Oklahoma, and I say only God can do that. I go to the post office, they say, we don't understand it. I said, I don't either, but I've got more boxes coming. I tell them, I said, I'll keep the lights on over here. I got me a little cart now, James. I can stack up on this little cart. They think I work for UPS now. I bring in boxes of flint there. They said, there it comes. I'm going, I say, wow, glory! Glory to God! Jonathan knew a kind of God like that. I'm glad I know a kind of God like that.
Amen.
There's a lot of things in this day and time don't make no sense, but God's not one of them. But the Lord, He makes sense. Somebody said, how'd you find that flint? I got down and prayed. I said, Lord, I don't know where this flint is, but I need some. Sister Emmeline, first time I went to Sonora, I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, lead me to the rock that I need. The rock is higher than I am, David said. I went to Sonora, Brother Melvin. The first house I stopped to. Hold on just a minute here. I'm trying to bring her name out of my memory vault here. Well, I ain't able to remember her name. Harpool, Ruth Harpool. Thank you, Lord. Don't tell me there ain't a God in heaven. Ruth Harpool. I knocked on the door, James. I don't know nobody in Sonora. I just know I'm looking for flint. I knock on a woman's door, and an elderly woman comes to the door and said, can I help the young man? And I said, well, I've got a strange question, I suppose. She said, well, what's that? I said, I come up here to try to find some flint rock. Have you got any idea where I can find some? I mean, I'm like a goose in a snowstorm. She said, sit down there just a minute. Let me talk with you. Ruth Harpool, she's a great Christian woman. She gave me a big slice of chocolate pie. She said, I own 400 acres up here, and she said, it's full of flint. You go out there and you get blessed of God. And I said, glory. I went down there and that big balls of flint laying everywhere. I said, Lord, thank you. I come home, and the guy said, how'd you find it? I said, I asked the Lord that knows where it was. Glory to God. Woo! That's where my flint started, right there. I met Ruth Harpool. She owns the best place up there. She said, I went to the sinkhole out there and pulled the truck up. And I'm not kidding you, Lord, it's ricked in there like a cord of wood. There's big balls of flint laying in there. I couldn't bring it all home with a Bobby. But I want you to know, mine eyes seen the salvation of God. I brought that flint home, that guy. He said, I ain't never seen no flint like this. And I couldn't explain it but one way. God led me to it. It started there, and even to this day, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Brother Lloyd, I went up there 2 weeks ago. I called my daughter. I said, you pray for me. I ain't doing no good. I got up there and everybody still had the corn standing in the field right where I wanted to pick it up at. I done told Donnie, I said, I won't be up every 30 minutes. I said, I'll be back here. We'll go down and try to find an arrowhead. And that would have been true, Brother Lloyd, if this field had been combined and had the corn in it, because it's laying out there. I mean, I can't wait to get in it, but I'll get in it later. But I called my daughter. I said, pray for me, honey. If you need prayer, you just tell me and I'll tell my daughter, and I'll promise you this. You talking about, buddy, she'll go down on her knees. She come in one time, her daddy was down there on his bedside praying, Brother James. She opened the door, and then she easily closed it. And then she opened the door and she come in there and sit down beside me and got to weeping. And I tell you what, I laid my arm over there by her and she got to hear her daddy pray. What a blessing it was.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, buddy, she prays. I'll call her anytime, Emmeline. I know she'll pray. Amen. All those prayer requests y'all give me, I'll call her up. I'll say, here's another to add to the list. She'll do it, boy. Anyway, I called her. I said, honey, I ain't finding nothing to pray. I went to two more places. Found one or two little pieces of flint. And I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, this ain't going to get it. It's getting dark. But Alvis, I thought I'm going to go by one more place on the way home. Y'all may have to clear the runway on this. I turned this curve. And God's my witness. He's the only one I can use to explain this. But Sister Gail, I turned this curve. And a guy had bought 500 acres of ground. He paid $61,000 for a dozer to get in there, and I mean just cleared out. And it was all woods. It had never been broke before. And all a dozer could do is get the big trees out. So he got one of them real heavy-duty discs. I'm probably giving information on all this out, so I better get up there pretty quick, I guess, get some of this picked up. Anyway, he got this real heavy-duty disc like he pulled behind a dozer and got a big, huge four-wheel drive tractor, and he went out there, and I mean, he wore it out. When I turned that curve, I didn't even slow down. I just drove on back, went through two gates, got back there. And within 30 minutes, I guess, I got all that little truck could hold, and it hadn't even rained on it. Now, since then, this week, which was yesterday, it had rained on it. Me and my son went up there, and all he done was pack. Because he couldn't pack and pick up. Because I was picking it up so fast, he said, listen, Dad, I'll just pack it. And you just keep, I piling up flint everywhere, Gayla. I mean, big handfuls on purpose. Manhole cover size of flint. This guy I took that flint to last night. He said, I ain't seen none of this in a long time. I said, I haven't neither. But I know the one that's able to provide for my needs, Lord of God.
Amen.
There ain't no way to explain it. I can't explain it away, and I can't even explain it where it makes no sense. But I'll tell you one thing. I brought it home. He tricked up my basement. I'll be taking pictures tomorrow morning. I'll be putting it on eBay. And I done put a little bit of it on there. That guy that bought that little bit, he said, how much? For about 40 pounds. I told him, I said, here's what I'll do. He said, sounds good to me. Put it on there. I'll be putting that on there in the morning. He's going to buy $100 worth. That don't make no sense. How can a man pick up hill rock at $2 a pound? And that truck, the bumper's dragging, going home. It's one man got pulled over by the law. And this guy says, when are you coming back? I said, as soon as I can. I've got to get a bigger truck. Amen. But listen, the honey of God. Right in the middle of this controversy, right in the middle of this cowardness, there's one little boy that's willing to step up and do something that nobody else will do. And he didn't do nothing but tell his armor bearer. He didn't tell his father. He said, come on, let's go over here and see if God be with us. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been there before. This ain't no big deal here. Yeah, I'm notorious for this. Preach one time through the whole microphone to the back row, never missed a lick. Yeah. I'll tell you, buddy, because Jonathan was willing to trust God, because Jonathan was willing to get up out of the hole and get up out of the pit, Molly, I'm telling you, he said, I've tasted a little bit of this honey. There's honey to be had.
Yeah, buddy.
I mean, I was over at Brother Melvin's this afternoon. He tempted me behind measure. I sat on the table. He had a jar of honey. I picked it up and I said, Brother Melvin, this wasn't supposed to be on there, buddy. Because I'm already have a big enough problem on what to preach tonight. I'm going to preach about the honey, but I've done announced I'm going to preach about the blessing. So somehow I'm just going to jam them together. Amen. John said, you say whatever you want to about it, but I've tasted a little bit of this honey. Listen, 25 years ago, I tasted a little bit of honey of God. I told a lady even this afternoon over at the nursing home, I said, I might be a late bloomer, but I got in. I said, I was 34 years old. I didn't know God. I knew of Him. But Brother Alvis, somebody told me that He loved me. Somebody told me if I'd ask Him, that He'd save me. And I took what's called, I guess, a calculated risk. And I called upon Him, the twitch of mercy, and all to call upon Him. I knelt down there not knowing God. Not knowing how to pray, Gayla. But I knelt down and I said, dear Lord, somebody told me you loved me. Somebody told me that if I'd ask you, you'd forgive me my sins and save my soul. And I said, Lord, to the best of my ability, I'm asking you right now to save me. And heaven come down. I tasted a little honey, amen. Bible said in Psalm 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, what a great our God. I wish I'd done it sooner. Yeah. I don't know about everybody else, but I'll tell you what, I got in the buffet line. I didn't want a sample. I'm still feasting. I'm still supping. I'm still walking and talking and fellowshipping with Him. Amen. I'm glad. Praise God. He's an on-time God. Amen. He wasn't off on vacation. I didn't have to make a long-distance phone call. He was right there, Gayla. He was just waiting.
Amen.
For me to call upon Him. I tasted a little bit of that honey. I've been tasting it ever since. It's dripping everywhere. Do you notice in the text? They said it was dripping everywhere, Margaret. There's so much honey. They couldn't hardly miss it. See, God had promised them. Brother Alvis, God had promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. Here they are. The honey's everywhere, Emmeline. Everybody's afraid of it. Every time I talk to somebody about the Lord, they're afraid of it. You tell them, boy, it's good. You say, I wish I could give you some. It's good. And they're afraid of it. Yeah. Jonathan took that stick down there. Hey, looked pretty good to him. I don't want to mess your arm up. But he took that stick down there, brought it up there and said, wow! It's pretty good. He offers them some, Brother Melvin. Well, none of them touch it, amen. But he offered it. I've offered a lot of people some of this honey. And some of them won't take it. And some of them will. But God said, it's there for you. I put it there. He said, the land, it's flowing with milk and honey. And they said it was everywhere. It's dripping off.
Yeah.
Honey. Here we are. Man, we're wanting a blessing. God's pouring them out. We can't see them. We won't move a finger. God's just pouring them out, Margaret. They're just laying everywhere. Blessings. The honey of God. There for you. There for me. All we got to do is just put forth our hand. Get a little of that honey. I thank God for men like Jonathan in the Bible. The Bible said we ought to be God rather than men. You'll be put in that predicament sometime. Let me step out of this message just a little bit. I was in church one night. My neighbor invited me to a revival. You invite me, I'll be there. Brother Melvin Kidd, he said, I'd like to invite you to a revival tonight. Well, listen, when I go, I'm going to be Brother Eddie now. I ain't going to change. He invited me to this revival meeting. And the guy up there, he didn't do much of a job of preaching. It wasn't much, Brother Lloyd. But I'll tell you what made it good. There was an older woman there. She had an oxygen tank. And she had that oxygen rigged up on her nose. And here she went to that altar, dragging that oxygen tank. And as she's going, she said, somebody help me. Somebody help me. I need to get saved. She hits on this altar and she's a wailing out. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. And I look, nobody going to do nothing. You know me, Molly. I got up and they tackled me. Just like in a football game. I mean, put me down. Said, no. I looked over at my neighbor. He acted like he didn't know me. And I'm sitting there thinking, she's asking for help. The pastor said, no. I ain't got no respect for him at all, Brother Lloyd. I really don't. I grew up with this boy. I went to school with him. Known him all my life. I ain't got a bit of respect for him. If he don't know no more than that, he don't need to be in that position.
That's right.
I'll tell you right now, he don't need to be there. They said no, and I heard this woman cry. Somebody, please help me. I wanted to go up there, Sister Gail, and say, I'll pray with you. And I'll tell you right now, I couldn't keep them off of me. I don't know what kind of church you call that, but I'll tell you one thing, they were grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to say I could do anything, but I'll tell you one thing I could do. I could go up there and pray with that lady. And there's a lot of that stuff goes on today. But that lady right there, buddy, hey, you read your Bible in Acts chapter number 8, that Philip, he has that Ethiopian eunuch. He said, understandeth what thou readest. And that Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I, except some man should guide me? He began to sing scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. And he said, behold, here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? And if you got the right Bible, he said, if thou believest, thou mayest. Verse 37. If you got a NIV, that verse has been conveniently removed because it don't line up with the people that think you're saved by being baptized. I won't name them tonight. Try to be gracious. But that one verse, Brother Lloyd, it overthrows their faith. They're teaching for commandments. The doctrine, for doctrine, the commandments of men. Philip put that verse in there. He said, if thou believest, thou mayest. The NIV tells somebody other than David killed Goliath. I don't know. I mean, you don't really have to be that smart to see some of the fallacies and some of the lies in that book. But to them, some man, Brother Bob McCurry mentioned about some man bought his neighbor Bible. He seen him a few days later, Brother Elvis. He said, how'd you like that Bible I gave you? He said, I buried it. It's out there in the backyard. He said, what'd you bury it for? He said, cause it's dead. Hey man, I guess that's about as good a way as you can put it. He said, it's dead. That's why I buried it. And I'm glad that thing there is a quickening spirit. I'm glad it's been a few times they got a hold of me like 480 volts. And when they let me go, I said, I mean, I let out. I didn't know where I was going, what I was going to do, but I knew I was going to do something somewhere. I mean, buddy, every now and then, I get lit up. I remember calling my mama, and I said, Mama, I'll tell you, I got saved. My mama said, you get home. She said, you look up the word fanatic. I didn't stop there. It wasn't too long. My mama sitting on the front pew at Bethel Baptist Church, hear her son preach. I'll praise God for that. Because the first time I encountered my mama, I didn't think nobody was ever going to get her in church. But I'll tell you what, buddy. I'll step out of that. I'll get back in the message now. The honey's there. It's there for them. They can all have it. Yeah. It's everywhere, Brother Melvin. There's honey running on the ground. It's dripping everywhere. And they're afraid to get any of it. Man, that ain't the crowd I run around with. Man, they'll fight you over that honey. They'll try to get your blessing if you ain't careful. I'm praying right now, I'll contend for the blessing, amen. I want the blessing of God, amen. I'll tell you right now, I'm not shy when it comes to the blessing. I want the Lord to bless me. And I want the Lord to bless you. He's the only one that can, amen. Wow! God had promised them, Sister Molly, a land flowing milk and honey. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 8. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 13. God said, my son, eat thou honey, cause it's good. And the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. If God said, Brother James, honey's good, then we need to be like Brother Melvin, have a jar of it on the table. I think that's the only sweetener we ought to use. I think every baby ought to have a spoonful of honey. Now I'm talking about real honey. Put in their bottle with their milk so they won't have no problem with allergies. Because that honey, them bees go out and gather to do what God made them to do. When they go out and gathered, Gala, they gathered and out of the flowers. And then when that honey is made, as you eat that honey, it builds up your immune system. We take our children when we didn't know no better. I still ain't real smart. But back when we didn't know no better, we'd take our children, Brother Alvin, and try to get them immune to allergies. And they'd scratch them and put a little something on there and try to help them build up immunity. God said honey will do that job. You get honey that's come from the area you live in, it'll help you with allergies. Amen. God said eat honey, Brother Melvin. He said it's good for you. And the honeycomb. Oh, you know, John the Baptist, the Bible said he come out of the wilderness and his meat was locusts and wild honey. I'm telling you, the Bible said about Jesus, it said butter and honey shall he eat. But talking about Jesus, I'm telling you, he's the honey that come out of the rock. He will satisfy. Glory to God. I don't want just honey. I want the honey to come out of that rock. That rock I'm talking about is Jesus. Man, he gives good honey, Molly. The kind of honey, buddy, he gives. I'll tell you, that same book of Proverbs that talked about eat honey because it's good for you. In chapter number 25, it said don't eat too much of it to make you sick. Matter of fact, it said eating too much of it ain't good for you. But Sister Gayla, the honey out of the rock, you eat all of it you want. You can eat honey in the morning. You can eat honey during the day. You can eat honey in the evening. You can have as much of that kind of honey as you want. It won't make you sick. Matter of fact, it'll bless you and your socks will roll up and down. And I'll tell you what, praise the Lord. Amen. That kind of honey, you can eat all of it you want. Amen. Glory! I thank God for the honey in the rock. It's the honey of God. Boy, I'll tell you what, that kind of honey will heal you of anything. Praise the Lord. Well, let me see if I can wrap this thing up. Jonathan said this about the honey of God, Brother Melvin. He said it opened my eyes to the things of God. You see, the Bible said the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for their foolishness to him. You see, the God of this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, said he blinds the minds of many. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Brother Melvin, I tasted some of that honey and my eyes got open. Amen. I started seeing the things of God. Amen. I started seeing all the times, Brother Lloyd, that he reached out to me and I didn't have no regard to the invitation of God. I said it not the counsel of God. But that honey was there. It's all over the place, Brother Melvin. It was on the ground. It was dripping. Honey everywhere. Honey! They'll go home that thing and set y'all honey off, I guess. But that honey, it opened Jonathan's eyes. He said, look. He said, I've tasted a little bit of this honey. And he said, look. Oh, I got my glass upside down. He said, look. He said, I've tasted a little of this honey. And it opened my eyes. I can see better than I did before after I got saved. I started understanding why things are like they are, Molly. They started making sense. I thought, man, why can't other people see it? They ain't tasting no honey. What's clear to you and me, Brother Lord, they can't see it. They say, I don't see it like that. They get some of that honey, they will. Amen. Man, I wish I could take a barrel of this honey with me. Brother Bobby just pinched people by the nose and put a spoonful of it in there and say, now what do you see? Now what do you see? And watch him take off like that old dog after the barn and run plumb over the nose and roll about three or four times, take off again and say, wow, boy, that's good. The honey, it opened Jonathan's eyes. Man, I tell you what opened my eyes. Let me tell you what else it did. He said it helped me not to have a worldly hunger. Before I got some of that honey, I was hungering after the things of the world. I'll tell you right now tonight, as honest as I can, I'm seeking the things of God. I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I'm pressing forward those things that are ahead. I'm telling you, my appetite has changed. My vision has changed. My appetite now is upon the things of God. Amen. That honey, the honey of God, it'll sure help you. But not only did it open his eyes, not only did it change his appetite, you know, you get somebody good and saved, it'll ruin them for this world. We listened, this guy give his testimony. Man, his friends really messed him up. On the way home, y'all put that in there, Brother Bobby, listen to it. It's dripping with honey. That's Margaret, ain't it? We cried. We wept. We rejoiced. That thing's dripping with honey. And we left about right here. Put it in there somewhere right there. I guess over 206. You can get it all, listen to it, tell you to get home. But anyway, it's a story of Danny Rydell. I got 20 more copies coming. I've run out of them. But it's kind of like the honey. I've just been trying to get it out as fast as I could. I've only got one left, and I promised it to Janie. When I get out of here, I'm going to the nursing home. I done bought her batteries. She's already anticipating me bringing this last CD in there. And I tell you what's like the blessing of God. I'm telling you, boy, you want everybody to have it. And I couldn't get them fast enough. I ordered 10, and 10 didn't last no time. And I ordered 20 more, and it didn't come quick enough. I had my son. Print some more. I want people to have the honey of God. Have the blessing of God. It's good. Amen. God then said it opened his eyes. He said it helped him have a different appetite. But also he said it blessed me coming and going because he tasted a little bit of honey. Now, when you get a little bit of honey, this wasn't on there. I'll throw it in there. When you get a little bit of honey, Sister Molly, the people's going to murmur. Look at verse 28, if you're still there. Then answered one of the people, and said, Thy father straightly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. You're going to have critics. You're going to have people that are going to criticize you. They're going to try to rob you of the blessing of God. And listen, if I listened to them, I wouldn't have time to listen to God. And I tell you right now, what the world says and what God says, I'm going with God. I'm telling you, God put the honey there. He put it there for them. And Saul, I tell you, as ungodly as he was, they said, withhold thy hand. I'll take you from here. They're falling like grasshoppers. I believe I can whoop them now. That great victory that God gave was because of the faith of a young man named Jonathan, his armor bearer. God put that honey out there for all. All of them could have had it, Brother Melvin. But them ones that didn't get it, oh, how critical they were of the ones that did.
Yeah.
Here Jonathan is, boy, he said, boy, this honey is good. I tasted a little bit of this honey, it opened my eyes, and they criticizing him. That ain't half of it. His father criticized him. His father condemned him. He said, you ought to die because you disobeyed me. And there is a little bit of truth to that. Because the Bible does say, honor your father and your mother in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
If your father says you go out and sell yourself into prostitution, don't honor him. If your father says drink this beer, don't honor him. If your father says, here, go kill that guy, I'd probably hear him, don't honor him. But the Bible says, honor your mother and your father in the Lord.
Right.
Jonathan, he obeyed God. His father wasn't much of a king. Matter of fact, he repented God that he made Saul king. You'll have to read a little bit more to see that. But look here. Saul here. He says that Jonathan ought to die because of what he done. And the people, believe it or not, they stood up for Jonathan. In verse number 40, then said he to all Israel, when they're trying to figure out who disobeyed him, he said, I and Jonathan, my son, will be on the other side. And the people said to Saul, do what seemeth good to thee. Therefore Saul said to the Lord, God of Israel, give a perfect lot. And Jonathan and Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Jonathan said, Saul said, cast lots between me and Jonathan, my son. And Jonathan was taken. And Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand, and lo, I must die. And Saul answered, God sue, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. Verse 25, and the people said to Saul, shall Jonathan die who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid. As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground. For he hath wrought with God this day, so the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. There's people going to speak against you, but then there's going to be some people speak for you. There's going to be some people going to say, I thank God for you. There's going to be some people say, you know, I was down, but you encouraged me. I was down, but you blessed me. I'm telling you, buddy, oh, we need to help one another. Oh, we need to encourage and exhort one another. And I'm telling you, buddy, that's what Jonathan did. He encouraged his people. He showed them that God gave them the honey, and they could have had it as well as him. Amen. But there'll be critics. But there'll also be those that will come stand with you. Amen. I've heard a lot of things. Some of them not good, some of them are good. I've heard a lot of things. One thing I heard, my pastor out there at work at Donnelly's, and the men was giving him a hard way to go. And one of the men on the crew stood up with Brother Ricky, and he said, I'll tell you what, I don't know how many people out here, he said, are Christians. But one thing I know, he said, this man is. Amen. And you know, all them men, they left off ridiculing. They was making fun of him because he wasn't going to go to a drinking party. Amen. Rick said, they made fun of him, Margaret. Amen. They said, what's the matter? Your wife won't let you go? Yeah. He said, no, it's not my wife, it's my father.
Amen.
And they just kind of made light of that. You know, he got to shake it off somehow, and they're giving him a hard way to go. And you know, you got to work with people. They ain't always as pleasant, do you think?
Amen.
But one of those men, he said, I'll tell you one thing. A lot of people out here, he said, they claim to be Christians. He said, I don't know where they are or not. But he said, one thing I know about this man, he is one. Y'all leave him alone. Hallelujah. I'm glad God will give someone in there to advocate for you. I'm glad, praise God, when you stand, like Paul said, he said that the stand haven't done all. He said, stand what they're with. I'm telling you, buddy, you stand, God will stand with you. God will send you some help. I'll tell you, buddy, I've heard a lot of things. I don't know whether they're true or not. I'll tell you one thing I know, that the honey of God is something to be desired. It's something more than open your eyes. It's something that'll change you from inside out. But everybody, Brother Melvin, they ain't going to take us, honey. We offered, you and I both. We'll go out on visitation. Me and Brother Melvin went one time to this house. This guy, he's sitting on the tailgate of his truck. He put his beer back behind him. And of course, we just good Christian brothers. We want everybody saved, you know. And Margaret, she's in the car. And me and Brother Melvin went up there and we talked to this man a little bit. We must have got a little bit too into it. I don't know. But I remember what this man said. He said, you men get out of here. Now look, Melvin went over the fence and I went under it. Margaret opened the door and started the car. But that's the way it is sometimes. You can't always give the honey out, Brother Melvin. But we can always offer it, brother. We can always tell them how good it is. We can always say, if you get a little bit of this honey, it'll take the place of that what you got here behind your back. Amen. We just keep offering. We just keep going. Amen. And say, if you'll just get a little bit of this honey, you'll put some of that stuff on the trash pile.
Yeah.
Let's not fail in offering the honey. Let's keep trying to tell them about the honey. You know, they tell me that an ant, when it finds something good, as it comes back to the whatever they call it, the ant in the hill or whatever, they say they find something good for the Lord. They say they'll put it down. And the next ant they meet, they'll rub some of that on the antlers or somebody to tell them where it's at. And everyone they meet, they'll put it down. And they'll say, it's over there. I wish we could be like the ant and say, it's over there. And get people to come and get some of the honey. Amen.
Amen.
We need to be like the ant in that respect.
Yeah.
Amen. Tell them where it's at. Tell them they have all they want. And Molly, I believe when we do, there might be one. Say y'all had some honey over here? And we say, yeah, it's in the rock. And that rock's Christ. Father, thank you for the privilege to brag on your Son, to brag on your grace, to be able to bless your people. Have a good word of God. Lord, I don't even know if there is a need here tonight. But I do pray, dear Father, tonight, when we go to bed tonight, that we'll dream about honey dripping on the ground. And I pray, Lord, in some way, you'll help us, Lord, to drip with that honey as we go through this world and offer it to all those that we see they're in need. And we'll thank you and praise you for whatever you do. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. Like I said, I think we're all saved tonight. And I'm not saying that like I'm any expert or nothing. But if there is something tonight that maybe you feel led of God, you need to do or whatever. Well, Brother Melvin's going to sing a couple verses of an invitation on him. If you need to come tonight, you go ahead and come. But I appreciate you coming to this service tonight. And thank y'all for praying for me. The devil hates me. What that devil said up there for you is true. He does hate us. He does lie to us. He does try to keep us from the honey. He does try to rob us of the blessing. But I'm glad there's one trying to give it. And he's greater than he is in the world. Amen.
One,
go ahead.
175.
175.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Thank you, Brother Melvin. Maybe someone's got a word on your heart tonight. I suppose we all do. But I want to thank God tonight for that sweet honey. Bless you, Brother Melvin. Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart tonight. Give you an opportunity if you do.
Yeah,
how'd you
get a story behind
it there? Amen, brother. Amen.
Yeah. One of the most spiritual, I believe, knowing the teachers now. Remember, I know him.
Yeah.
That honey came from his place.
Amen. Amen.
He came to church here, you know. We used to him and his wife and little girl. And somebody used to. Yeah, come to church here, don't come here now. But since they offended him, they quit. Now, he did so bad.
Bless your heart.
Blessed.
Amen.
And, he's got beehives different places.
Yeah.
And we came by there. They lived under the side of it. And he had a long trip to the church. We tried to come talk to him and come back up here. But I don't know. He's from another church, whatever name. But that's been several years ago. But that's where I got to get 2 quarts in honey.
Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, praise the Lord.
It's amazing how them little bees can make honey like
that. That's right.
If anybody could believe in God, what can believe for the work's sake?
That's right.
My goodness, anybody couldn't believe a little honey can make, little bees can make honey like that. I'll tell you what, it took God to create such creatures that, you know, and so many miracles and things on the earth. You just look for them, you can see them. You know.
That's right.
And it ain't no trouble believing God. Especially when you get the spirit, you know, like we got, you know, and feeling spirit, present, like Bill here tonight. It's been so sweet to be here tonight.
You know? Amen. Bless you, Brother Melvin. Maybe somebody else got a word in your heart tonight. Didn't preach too long. I don't think it did anyway. But if you got something tonight, we'll give you an opportunity. If not, we'll be dismissed. Appreciate you coming. Anybody else?
All I can say is, what a Savior.
Amen, sister. Amen, Sister Molly. What a Savior. And, oh man, he's certainly honey, comb. Out of the rock. I wish I'd know what I was missing out on. I'd gotten there earlier, boy. Deprived myself of that Sister Kayla till I was 34 years old and could have had it all along. And on that tape, on that CD, this guy's mother got saved when she was 7 years old. And boy, I got blessed just hearing about that. 7 years old, got saved. Got some of that honey. Anybody else tonight?
Yeah, Ricky Cross is his mother's name. Yeah, his name.
If nobody's got nothing on your heart, thank you for coming. Pray one for another throughout this week. Till the next point of time, let's all stand. And Brother Bobby, you dismiss us for the prayer, brother.
Thank you, Lord, for this thing and your blessings of life. We just thank you for this service.